Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying your day so far. Go to my website, Tuttle.net. Not only do you want to go to Tuttle.net, you're going to want to go to Tuttle.net/vote. If you go to my YouTube channel, I did a interview with one of my sponsors, Scott York. His website is FloridaCannabisCoach.com. And he actually offered me a little added bonus to help me get across the finish line and shock the world, be the Cinderella story, and win Best Podcast in the Orlando Weekly Best of Competition. So, if you do that, go and vote for me. Take a screenshot of you voting for me and tag me on any of my social media, Facebook.com/Tuttle, Twitter.com/Tuttle, or Instagram.com/Tuttle, and you will be automatically registered for a 4-day, 3-night stay in his Airbnb in the heart of historical St. Augustine, Florida. And if you've never been there before, it is an amazing place. It is a great Airbnb, and that's all going to be free if you go to Tuttle.net/vote and take a screenshot of you voting for me. You'll be automatically registered to win that. I talked about this story yesterday on the Tuttle Daily Podcast, but about the building collapse that ended up happening down in Surfside, Florida. I think that is around the Miami area. And I got to tell you, the more and more news that's coming out about this, you know, they're saying that there's like 125 people right now that are still unaccounted for. And I saw what the firefighters were doing. They were down in the basement of this building, which is basically a house of cards. It could collapse at any moment, just like the firefighters that ran into the Twin Towers during 9/11. They pretty much had a good idea that there was a chance that the building could collapse. And those same firefighters, well, not the same firefighters, but the firefighters are doing the exact same thing, pinning their life on the line down in a basement that is completely flooded already. My most horrible thing would be you survive through a collapse while you're already sleeping, and then you end up drowning to death down in the basement filled with water.
Tonight, this beachfront condominium in South Florida is a disaster zone.
This whole building right here is gone, the whole back side of it.
Well, people, I mean, that is Florida news for you. No matter what, every single reporter out on the field, even though, you know, they want to get the great eyewitness account. They don't even care if somebody else has more information. They're going to find the dumbest sounding, most redneck, white trash motherfuckers that they can just to put on the news. Did you hear? That lady was like, yeah, I saw that building. Yeah, it came down. Yeah, I saw a water tower back in the day when old Billy Bob was, climbing up that tower to ask Jolene if he'd marry her. Yeah, no. That's the last time I saw one collapse like that. Yeah, they go for the dumbest fucking people that they can.
Security camera video from an adjacent condo capturing the terrifying moment a portion of Champlain Towers collapsed in Surfside, killing at least three. And now the urgent but delicate search for the 99 unaccounted for, some feared trapped in the pancaked remains of the complex. Firefighters first on scene, carefully maneuvering slabs of concrete, hearing a voice cry, don't leave me, don't leave me.
Can you only imagine what it was like? Because most of these people were asleep when this happened. Have you ever had a dream where, or a nightmare where you fall, and as soon as you hit the ground, you wake yourself up? Like, what happens if you're actually dreaming, but while you're dreaming, the building that you're fucking living in collapses out from underneath of you, I mean, do you wake up immediately there, or is it like Inception where you go inside a dream then? Because I got to tell you what, even though I was buried alive in that concrete for 2 days, over 48 hours, I would have a very, very difficult time sitting there pinned. You know, every single little sound that you hear, you don't know if that's the building about to crush you to death. Yeah, man, it's got to be a horrible way. That's why I've never understood that people live in these high rises. Like, I'm telling you right now, if I lived in New York or Manhattan, I know this sounds stupid, and I've never skydived a day in my life, but I would like to know that I at least have a parachute or something that I can get down off of, maybe like a Batman, like, rappelling stick or something. You know, that's exactly what I would have. I mean, your chances are better. You know, those people jumped out of the buildings during 9/11. Even if they didn't even know how to parachute, I guarantee you they would have at least loved their chances of having one.
Discovering this young boy, one of at least two people pulled from the rubble. Around 1:30 a.m., sleeping residents are jolted from bed by a loud noise, some describing it as a clap of thunder. But it wasn't a storm. The back of the building was giving way.
There's going to be an entire building. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 stories.
It's crazy the way my brain works sometimes. Why just random things make me think of other things. But that guy counting the stories made me think of, like, what if they had the count from Sesame Street going, oh, it's a one story, two stories, Yeah, it would take forever. Could you imagine if the count was the dispatcher? Hell no. Oh, four stories,
Those inside running down to the street.
By the way, I've never, ever, ever thought that I've been great at voices. I know that was a horrible count, but I can't even do Kermit the Frog. Everybody can do Kermit the Frog. Everybody can do a Christopher Walken, but not me. I've never, ever. The only thing that I can get close to doing, naturally sounding, is that creepy old dude that does the voice on The Family Guy, the old pedophile neighbor. Yeah, that's how I naturally sound.
You okay, man?
It was like an earthquake.
More than 80 fire rescue vehicles racing to the scene.
I have never seen so many ambulances and police in my life all at once.
Do any of you guys, I know this is a random thought, but do any of you guys ever get, like, pimples in a random place? I was, like, washing my hair last night before I went to bed, and I found that I got this pimple. It's, like, right at the beginning of my hairline. And I got a really, really good hairline, so it is in there. But why is it when you find a pimple in an unusual spot, you cannot help but play with it? And it hurts like a motherfucker to be able to touch, but I still want to touch it. It's just like when you, like, cut or bite the inside of your mouth, or you lose a tooth or something, or you're always going to play with that spot no matter what. It's like the doctor always said, well, it hurts when I touch it. And the doctor says, oh, well, stop touching it. No, us as humans, I don't know why we do it. It's just a random thought. Had nothing to do with these poor people that are most likely dead down in South Florida.
Residents seeking refuge on balconies, waving down rescue teams.
We still have people standing upstairs that don't need to be evacuated.
Fire crews raising baskets to bring them to safety. At least 35 pulled from the building.
That building is in imminent danger of collapsing, potentially. And they're up there looking for people in the building. So those guys, those are real heroes.
This is just a random thought. I know that I've got to have some firefighter, like, listeners or supporters of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. What is the highest that one of your ladder trucks can go? Because, like, this building, like the guy counted, had 13 stories. What is the highest that you guys can go with one of those buckets or ladders? You can email me tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's, tuddle@gmail.com. Or you can leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. I would like to hear, like, how high, like, what is your max level in height for you guys to be able to use the ladder truck to be able to rescue somebody from a building?
Search dogs brought in.
And the real heartbreak for me is that, you know, we had the dogs out there this morning looking for people, trying to find people in the rubble. We just didn't get any hits.
Rescuers later shifting their operations to underneath the rubble.
We conducted an assessment, sonar and search cams on the top of the rubble.
The before and after, striking. The condo, 12 stories tall, with 136 units, the entire northeast corner of the building facing the beach destroyed.
Now, it does not say it in this news story because I actually pulled this audio last night from ABC's national news right at the primetime news. So they didn't mention this, but I was reading reports this morning that this building had been sinking for about the last decade, and they said they had just had an inspector out there like the day before that it ended up happening. I mean, somebody's doing some jail time. Somebody's getting sued. Like, seriously, somebody needs to be held accountable for this. I know this building was built in the 80s. I know that I talked about this yesterday. A lot of these firefighters most likely are going to get sick from this because they probably use asbestos or something, some poisonous chemical in the construction of this building. So we're going to have those people that are going to end up dying. I mean, we have to do something better to be able to protect our firefighters and first responders going into collapses like this. Like, I don't know what can be done. I know, like, they can't be wearing masks all the time or one of those breathing apparatuses. But, yeah, these guys, they really don't give a fuck. You know, that's the thing about it. There was a lot of hate for cops last year. But, do people really hate firefighters? I mean, for the most part, I think firefighters don't get any hate at all. Matter of fact, I think they're probably one of the most loved first responders or people that are working on the front line, in my opinion.
From this vantage point along the beach, you get a much better scope of the devastation. Just look, the back half of that building, 55 units, now just gone.
This building, home to families, small children. These bunk beds hanging on in what remains of this bedroom. Gabe Neer and his family moved to apartment 111 just months ago.
We just ran for our lives, and it was nothing but just white, thick cloud of dust.
For it being South Florida, that's probably the first time a big cloud of white dust was not cocaine. It was all building material, drywall and stuff. But I'm sure there was some people and partiers down in South Florida being like, hell yeah, man. Cocaine party. Let's breathe in all this asbestos that we think is cocaine.
We met Nicholas Fernandez, desperate for word on his close friends, two fathers and their daughter staying in his family's condo.
And you've tried calling them. You're trying everything. You can't get a hold of them.
Non-stop with my family. And just with the, like, you know, having like at least a hope of like maybe the rescue team will hear the cell phone and they will have a clue.
See, I mean, that calling the cell phone thing's not going to work all the time, okay? I'll tell you the reason why. Because some guys, they got side chicks, they got side hoes, and they keep their phone on vibrate because when they're with their ride or die bitch, you don't want to hear the phone dinging with texts because that's when women start getting suspicious. The guy could work in radio. You know, when I have a steady radio job, my phone always stays on vibrate because the last thing you want to do is have your cell phone ring in the middle of a show. I remember one time, the first time I got in trouble for it was on the Phillips file with Jim Phillips. Oh, man, I got my phone confiscated for the whole fucking show that day. And that was the last time that ever happened.
Families gathering, waiting for news, holding photos of their loved ones.
My 12-year-old daughter, who's absolutely like beyond a shock, she's so close to her father.
Soraya Cohen's husband, Brad, and brother-in-law, Gary, are among the missing.
Do you still have hope?
Honestly, no.
Why?
Who's going to survive that rubble?
I know a lot of people are probably being like, oh, man, that wife, she's being a real realist. Like, she's being real about the whole situation. No, that is a bitch that just got a $100,000 life insurance policy on her husband. I'm not saying she had anything to do with the collapse of the building, but come on, man. 100K? Six figures? Hell yeah, and plus you're probably going to be able to sue the fuck out of the building. The management, the state, whatever it may be. This woman just got the biggest payday of her life. I don't know. Who knows? It might have been a loving marriage. Might have not have been. I'm just going out on a limb. Going to take a quick break. Be back in a few seconds. You are listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Great news, folks. You now have the chance to see the face in front of that sexy voice. Right you are, sir. The Tuttle Daily Podcast streams Monday to Friday on YouTube. Anything can happen at the Hobo Fish Camp.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, sir. That's enough. Okay. So go to youtube.com/Tuttle. Don't forget to subscribe and hit that bell button so you're notified anytime Tuttle goes live. Good job, sir. Questions? Comments? Concerns? Compliments? Or do you just want to tell Tuttle to fuck off? In any event, contact Tuttle. Tuttle@gmail.com. It's Tuttle with two D's, dumbass.
It's time for the Orlando Weekly Best of 2021.
Right you are, Amy, and we need your help.
Wait, you need my help?
No, no, the listeners' help.
Oh, the Tuttle Daily Podcast listeners' help. Apologies, I thought you meant... anyway.
Okay, thanks, Amy. Yes, fans, that's right. Our boy has been nominated for Orlando Weekly's Best Orlando Podcast.
And what a journey it's been for Tuttle, from the pinnacles of terrestrial radio and having various instruments inserted into his rectum to making an attempt at rebuilding his broadcasting career by starting a podcast with nothing more than an iPhone 7 in a late model BT Cruiser.
Look, being nominated for Orlando Weekly's Best of 2021 podcast hasn't been easy. Sure, the other nominees have fancy stuff like studios with chairs and air conditioning, actual microphones, reliable Wi-Fi, running water.
The point is this, Josh. Our guy Tuttle is back on the air and needs your help to push him over the finish line and into the graces of Orlando audio royalty.
Indeed, Amy. You can vote at tuttle.net/vote.
Let's show the people that Tuttle is back and here to stay. Again, vote for the Tuttle Daily Podcast at tuttle.net/vote.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I want to talk about something here, okay? And this is, look, I want you to know, like, I'm friends with everybody at the BRN right now. I really, really am. But I just, I thought about this. I'm getting ready with this interview that I'm supposed to be doing with Alex Liu. It's about this board game to help save dogs and stuff. And I just had this thought and I didn't want to lose it. So I told my producer, just start recording. But I was looking on the YouTube page that the Bubba Love Sponge show has. Just go to it. It's youtube.com/TheBubbaArmy or just Bubba Army. I'm not absolutely sure. But one of the segments that Bubba did was give me the top three things you hate about the BRN. Now, in true fashion, Blitz was the only one that kept it real. But Bubba kept it real as well, too. But what I wanted to say was that, hold on, Pat? Oh, he's here. Okay, let's talk to Alex Liu, and then I'll get into that. Alex, are you there, Alex?
I'm here.
But Alex, how are you, man? I was just, you know, like before the interviews start, sometimes when I record, when I get on early, because I like to be ready for the guests, I'll get on and I'll just start talking and stuff
awesome.
Like that. And then just wait for the person because, you know, a lot of times these people, they won't even show up. Can you believe that, Alex? Like, you know,
I do believe
like
that. We're Folks are busy people. And I know you and I, we've rescheduled this, I think, two or three times. So I'm so glad we're getting to actually, you know, meet and do the recording. So, well, yeah, I'm super excited.
If I'm being honest, and I'm not trying to, like, play the dead dad card, but I think the reason why we had to reschedule is my dad just passed away. So
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So I don't want you to think like I'm just like BSing you or anything.
Not at all.
Oh, yeah. The reason why. No, my dad passed away and he was in the hospital for like a month. So like I basically had to reschedule a lot of interviews. But, you know, like, I was always raised, though, Alex, that, like, you know, like if you tell somebody you're going to be there, you either be there. And right. Are you one of those guys that is either early? You'd rather be early than late?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's so much easier. Right.
Yeah. Well, but it also it's a little stressful, though, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure. Like you're not even late, but you're freaking out because you're late on trying to be early. But the one thing that really like upsets me the most is when people just no call, no show. You see what I'm saying? I'm not even talking about respect, because respect is something you got to earn. And I don't know these people, but just common courtesy.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you. I hear you. Well, I'm glad that we are meeting, and I'm glad that we're able to do this because I'm excited to talk to you. And now, just confirm from the voice, it's Ron, right? Or is it Fez?
Oh, no, no, it's not Ron or Fez. I'm Tuttle. I am Tuttle.
You're Tuttle.
Yes, I used to be on the show with Ron and Fez.
Okay.
So I've been all over the place. So no. Don't worry about it. Listen. I am a nobody like radio guy that's been working in radio for like 22 years, like, and I started this podcast and it's actually grown up enough where I can tell radio, like, that's how horribly I was doing in radio, Alex, is that, you know, and don't worry, I've gotten guest names wrong all the time too.
Yeah.
So
I just want to make sure that, you know, what you want, who am I talking to? Who, you know, whom do I address? You know, that's important, you know, when we're doing a show.
but Alex, have you ever been in that uncomfortable situation? Because you seem like a networker.
Sure.
Like,
yes.
You're a networker. Like, you're a business type guy. You're always trying to meet new people. And like, maybe you've met a lot of people. I'm sure you've met tons of people. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're in a group setting with you and a bunch of friends. And then this person comes up and is like, "Hey, Alex, how have you been?" And then you're kind of like, all right, who is this
desperately
person?
Searching the memory banks of like who
the mind palace, the
this?
Mind palace.
Yes.
Yeah. You have to search the mind palace. And then you try to go, you try to be as vague as possible. Like, you know, like how are things, just so you can be like Sherlock Holmes.
Yep.
And try to feel it out.
You got to give time for the mind to like buffer and figure out, okay, it's going to come to me. It's going to come to me. Right.
Yeah, And I don't want this to be a Me Too thing, but if it's a woman, I do check out and I'd be like, all right, you know, all right, nope, I have not been with this woman romantically at all. So we got to figure out, this is a business situation.
Yep.
Or was she the cashier that checked me out at the grocery store that, you know, we just had a, all right. So anyways, I digress because my ADHD will be all over the place. The reason I want to talk to you is about your very inventive game, in my opinion.
Awesome.
Tell people about it, because like when I bring guests on, I don't like to promote their stuff. This is your baby. This is like this. Is, no, I'm for real. Like you have, I don't know if you've worked with any other partners, but like, you know, like you probably. You've done the impregnation as well. And I know that's not even a word, and the and the gestation of this whole baby. And now that it's born, I think that this was probably born probably naturally, not through a C-section. And you were able to get that baby. You cut the cord. Tell us all about this baby of yours.
Oh, wow. All the gore details. Sure. So Dogs Bond, it's a board game for 2 to 6 players, and it is targeting, you know, ages 10 and up, and up by up, you know, meaning, you know, friends, family, you know, my college friends, you know, and of course, the older generation who I invite back to the table. The game itself, you play as a rescue dog. We have eight different mutt breeds.
Has anybody tried to turn this into a drinking game yet, though? Like,
we've had drinks.
I'm just asking.
We've had drinks with it, and yeah, you could easily add your own.
so there are doghouse rules to have
a good time. Yeah, for sure.
Because you know how we are. We all just like to look for reasons to get creative on how to alter our minds and stuff. So, like, I mean. I'm sure, like, hey, when you buy a Dogs Bond game, like, I mean, it's yours to do whatever you want with it after
that's
right. that. You know,
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
We don't care how this helps out the rescue dog.
Right. As you know, if people are having fun and can share in, you know, actually building in those memories, you know, building that experience together, that's what we're about, you know, because for me growing up, I was always playing board games and, you know,
were you a dog person though? So were you a dog
person?
Kid?
Yep. Yeah. And you know, you play these games, or you know, something funny would happen at the table. Some story, and we still tell these stories year after year, every you know holiday get together or birthday, and that's
favorite,
what we do. You know,
favorite board game growing up. What was your favorite board game growing up?
Ooh, favorite board game growing up is called Bonanza. It is a German card game. Where you're a bean farmer and you farm different beans and you cash them in for coins, and it's all about trading. So, yeah, very, very interactive.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said I'm sorry. And I didn't even, I was going to say something like stupid, like sorry, the game sorry back in the day, you know, or like, I mean, I know Uno's not a board game. Clue had to be one of the worst board games.
Yeah,
I know,
yeah.
But Clue had to be one of the worst board games of all time. And Monopoly.
Yep,
Monopoly,
yep.
Would the more pieces you got on the board, the most likely somebody was going to get mad and flip over the table and you were going to lose a bunch of pieces.
Right.
I mean, life was actually kind of interesting. That board game.
Yeah. You build a story. Sure. You know, or Trouble, you know, Connect Four, right. These are the games that like you have in your game closet, in your shelf that are.
Would Twister be considered a board game? Twister,
yeah,
a board game?
Twister, I think is still a board because it is a board, even though it's on the floor, right? And you are essentially the game pieces, right? So, yeah, totally qualifies as a board game, I think.
Chess, right?
Chess,
with
yeah,
Queen's
yeah,
Gambit, ancient. with Queen's
oh,
Gambit
yeah.
coming out. Like, I mean, did you get a chance to check out Queen's
oh,
Gambit during the pandemic?
Gambit. Yes, definitely watch Queen's Gambit. Highly recommend it if you haven't. Yeah, just, you know, these are the fun types of, you know, these are the experiences that you can have, right? Where it's both challenging, it's cerebral, you get to engage with people on a real level. That's what war games to me is all about. And, you know, want to welcome dog people into the board game, you know, hobby, through a theme that they know they like, as well as, you know, bring that family feel back to the table. Because, you know, what for me, the reason why I created it is I've got a blended, like, family, like, generationally speaking. And how do I keep an 8-year-old and a 16-year-old engaged in one game? The context is different. The, you know, the play is different.
Oh, so you meant you married somebody that already had a kid?
I've got friends and family, you know, family you choose. And there's a big age divide between
okay.
kids. But we all come together for those holidays, for those
yeah,
birthdays.
Yeah, I get it.
So how do we engage?
I was with an Italian family not too long ago, and the generational gap on some of the kids. Mm-hmm. I was like, how are you guys cousins? Like one would be like in their 40s, and the other one would be like in their teens. And I'm like, how is this possible?
That's right. So how do you engage this family, right, all together? How do you make sure people are, frankly, off their screens, in the moment, in the present, right? Because I'm not going to look at, you know, hey, can you show me that video you showed me last year or that picture with the caption that was funny? I don't care, right? It's about building those relationships.
Well, conversation, you know, just at conversational pieces, because people do get competitive and then you get that play, you get that playful trash talking that goes on sometimes too, that back and forth banter when it comes to board games. Have you ever been in that situation where there, you know, there is some trash talking going on, but it's cool with everybody.
Yeah. That's why you want to invite people over to play board games, right? It's sometimes it's for fun and, you know, just kind of very passively, but then also too, if you get into those situations, right, where somebody's really going to win or somebody's really going to lose, right? Those, what we call stand up moments, where you're standing up and you're like, it all comes down to this card.
Oh,
right?
It's like, yes, you're all like, all right, let's see what they roll. Yeah, like, or is she going to yell Yahtzee on this one?
Exactly.
Or like, what's going to happen?
Exactly.
Like that movie that came out not too long ago, Game Night. Did you ever watch that at all?
I did. I watched half of it on a plane and, you know, and it was fun, right? It was fun because, you know, it kind of had some of the elements in there. And then it also had a little fan service. And then
yeah,
I must admit, I did fall asleep during the movie, but I was on a plane. So, hey, maybe I'll give it another shot.
They had one of the best one take scenes because like I love film and movies. And by one take, it was like a 8-minute continuous shot where like they never like there were no cuts, no edits at all. And I don't think people realize like how difficult that is to do planning.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's about, you know, it's about being natural and about taking what is given. Just like in a conversation, in a board game, in a scene that you're filming on a movie, like you've got to be present. You've got to be in that moment. And when you're distracted,
you gotta be real.
Yeah. And when if you're distracted from that moment, you're going to miss it, right? And those are the kinds of things that I know, like from my own experience and countless others, right? Board games, we bring that together because it's like you're looking at the cards, you're reading the game, you're doing a thing.
Let me ask you though, how does this help out rescue animals though? Like, can you explain?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, all these other games we mentioned, right? They all involve bankrupting your opponent or wiping the opponent off the board or murder mystery, right? They're all kind of adversarial, confrontational things. And so for our game, we build in a lot of the compassion, the empathy, because you're a dog and you're just doing dog things and being the best dog you can be as you play through the events in the game. And you then build that bond with the potential adopters who eventually will adopt you home. And how it in and how it involves and supports real life rescue. One of the things that I learned was, you know, I can only be in so many places at once on a Saturday. Many rescues will do an event, a fundraiser, and I can only be in one place. So how could I use my skills and knowledge to create something that
so you're bringing awareness, but you're also bringing entertainment to families.
Exactly. And you know, ages 10 is our game demographic. And usually age 10 is about the time when a child is thinking about, or a family is thinking about getting a dog. And so conversations is important.
Now, I'm not trying to get all like philosophical or too deep or whatever, though.
Get deep.
No, but I mean, we're talking about rescue animals and mm-hmm. stuff here. I mean, it also teaches kids a life lesson almost. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, yeah. I really think that it does. It's like, you know, we're not all created equal. You know, correct. some dogs are thrown out like garbage and the other ones aren't. But guess what? Some of these other dogs that were thrown out are the ones that have gotten second chances, that are the ones that are able to find true happiness and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe
that's right.
Maybe I'm getting too out there. I don't know.
No, that's exactly where we want to be, right? Is having a different and positive influence on the way we talk about rescue. When I pitched the game before we were, you know, even a thing, when I pitched the concept, there were some people who would say, ew, a dog rescue game? Like, I'm sad now. And I was like, why are you sad? Tell me about this experience. And they're like, oh, I hear the Sarah McLachlan song and, you know, I have to change the panel.
Oh, that does kind of get me, though.
And I'm like, I get it, but there's a better way. And if we can influence our conversations to be more positive, to be more filled with play, whimsy, and hope, like this game is, mm-hmm. then I think we can elevate and this conversation.
My only problem with that damn Sarah McLachlan commercial is that it's just too long. Like, I could take a minute. I can take a minute of that song and just sad dogs and cages that are cold. Like, I can take a minute of that. But after a while, it's kind of like, all right, are they playing it long enough where they're just like, I'm going to turn the TV down and I'm going to call them right away so I don't have to listen to this? Right. Or like, I don't know, like it could be brilliant or like could be bad. I don't know.
Yeah. And that's why it was so important for me to create this game where you're doing things right. The dogs are collecting things. There's, you know, emails about them, people trying to foster. They're learning new skills. They're developing their obedience, grooming, health, temperament, all these things. And again, being that the players are the dog, you start to kind of learn what it's like to walk in their paws for a moment. So, yeah.
Oh, I love that. You got me there. Yep. Hey, so one last question. All right. So I'm going to ask a question. Then I want you to promote everything and tell people how they can find out about the board game itself. But
awesome.
What is your, you know, this is a weird question. Your most favorite saddest dog movie of all time?
My favorite saddest dog movie of all time. Actually, I think it's like right now, the one that comes to mind is Marley and Me.
Which is, what about, you know, my dog Skip? But, you know, me growing up, Yeah. Me growing up, I read the book growing up in the South, but it was about these two coon hounds, mm-hmm. That were red tick hounds or whatever, and it was where the red fern grows. Yep. Did you ever read that book?
That was required reading for us. Yeah, definitely. Another movie growing up. If you saw it, Homeward Bound.
Oh yes, that. But then
the narration of the animals. Yeah,
they had Michael J. Fox, I think, voice one of the characters.
That's right. I think
in that movie. So, Alex, tell people once again how they can check everything out.
Yeah, come check us out, www.dogsbondgame.com. And you can check out some of the art. You can see who our backers are. The project was on Kickstarter in September of 2020. And we're actually looking forward to actually delivering the game in late summer of 2021. If you're interested in purchasing a copy of the game, we are going to be opening that up. So join our email list and you can have all that fun stuff. Or if you are working in a rescue or you know somebody who's passionate about rescue and they don't yet have Dogs Bond on their virtual store, have them reach out to us. We are currently partnered with over 25 different rescues in the United States and a couple in Canada. And we're hoping to expand this worldwide so that real life rescue, whenever they sell a copy of the game, they get a portion of proceeds. Like, this is the whole point, is to bring dog lovers to game and bring game lovers to dogs. So dogsbondgame.com.
All right, Alex, I hope you have a wonderful night, and I hope this was a good interview for you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Tuttle. Have a great rest of your day.
Wish you could have just flown and had your vehicle arrive a day or two later so you can enjoy more time doing what's important to you? Well, you can. Just give Starfire Transport a call. Let the professionals do the driving while you're flying. Starfire Transport specializes in RV and auto transport. They'll also haul watercraft from boats to PWCs, cargo trailers, and more. Service available throughout the continental United States. So don't wait. Call Brian today at 574-349-4193 or 989-751-6106 for your next move. 10% off for veterans past or present. Also, make sure to tell them Tuttle sent you for an additional discount. That's Starfire Transport. Want to support the show? Go to paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio.
Welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast, last segment of today's show. But before I get into my last couple of topics, make sure you go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. When you go there, hit the subscribe button as well as that bell button, because when you hit that bell button, it's going to alert you anytime I go live or I upload any new content. Got some great stuff up there. You can also tell a lot of people, because a lot of people don't understand podcasts. And, you know, a lot more people understand YouTube. So if one of your friends that you tell about the show says, hey, guess what? I really don't understand the podcast thing. Well, tell them they can go to youtube.com/Tuttle, because every single show that I do gets uploaded to my YouTube channel. Also, at the beginning of the show, I had mentioned that Scott York from FloridaCannabisCoach.com gave me a little bit of an incentive for you guys to vote for me for the best podcast not on the radio in the Orlando Weekly Best of Orlando competition. If you go to my website, tuttle.net/vote, take a screenshot of yourself voting for me, and you're going to automatically be registered to stay in Scott York's Airbnb. And it's great. I'm going to post some pictures up on my social media later of the place that you could possibly be staying at. But he's given me 4 days, 3 nights. It's right in the heart of historic downtown St. Augustine. And if you've never been to St. Augustine before, it's such a great, great place. Now, before I got into the interview with Alex Liu, and I want to thank him for coming on, I was talking about something that I heard on the Bubba the Love Sponge show recently. I don't get a chance to listen to the show very, very much because I'm busy. Like, seriously, seriously busy. I get up, I try to get the show recorded as quickly as I can. I try to get most of it done the night before, but I catch a lot of stuff on Bubba's YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheBubbaArmy, or just search Bubba Army and it'll pop up. I mean, the guy's got over 40,000 subscribers right now. I remember when I was on the show, he was like, his goal was to get to 30, And now he's got 40. But I heard this thing. Bubba wanted people on the show to tell him the three things that they hate the most about the BRN. Now, this, for the most part, could be a trap. It could be a trap because I've been there. We've all been there where Bubba says he wants the absolute truth. He wants us to shoot on him. And if you don't know what shoot means you are really just airing your grievances. You're being 100% real. A work is, you know, you're working with them. Like, you know, I can say whatever I want. You know, it might not be true, but you're going to act like you're upset, but you're not really, really upset. Yeah, no. Bubba wanted the guys Anna, which I am a big fan of Anna Hummel. Oh, my God. Bubba wanted them to say the top three things that you hate about the BRN the most. And I was like, yes, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. And it was a big Hogan fart because, like, the only one that really actually kept it real was Blitz. Blitz is the only one. But see, that's the thing about Blitz is Blitz has a lot of pictures on Bubba. Blitz knows a lot of Bubba's secrets. So Blitz is going to get away with a little bit more. I heard that Bubba said one of Bubba's grievances was that Blitz can be a little bit of a dick too much. Now, like, Anna and Lummy, they really didn't bring it. You know, the show was at its best, and I'm not saying anything wrong about this incarnation of the show. It's really, really good. I think they're doing very, very well. They're killing it on Twitch. They got markets. They're picking up new markets and stuff. But when the show was on Howard's on the Howard Network and all that good stuff, everybody shot on everybody every single day. It was no holds bar. And I caught the tail end of that in 2010 when everybody was stiff as fuck. And I'm telling you right now, it would have been the biggest fight in the world if Bubba would have asked that same question back then because people really would have brought it. But no, I think Anna, I think Lummy, I think everybody there thought that this was a trap because it could possibly be a trap because Bubba can ask you to, you know, give your honest opinion and then he is going to flip his fucking lid on you. But yes, no, Lummy and Anna and Caveman and Rhett, whoever Rhett is, they didn't bring the heat. I'll give you an example. Like if I would have been there, I don't know if you guys remember when I supposedly had stopped drinking, you know, before I actually got on this big bout of sobriety. And I was telling Bubba that I wasn't drinking. Bubba was, you know, he was giving me a breathalyzer every morning when I would come into work. And then B. Fudd, who was my roommate at the time, ended up taking some pictures of some liquor bottles that I had hidden because I was still drinking. And I got let go. I got sent home for like 2 weeks. And then they wanted me to come back under the stipulation that I had to read a book report. And now this had to be a book report, but it all had to be negative things about people that worked at the BRN. Now, there were still a lot of the big names were working at the BRN that I just went straight for the fucking jugular. But Bubba could tell that I was a little nervous going into it, even though, like, I'm really not scared to say anything. I'm not scared to talk to anybody or interview anybody. I'll go up to anybody. I don't give a fuck how famous they are. So I ended up getting let go from the BRN, but they made me drink a whole handle. Not a handle, but just like a, you know, just a regular size bottle of Jack Daniels in about a half hour. And I read every single thing that I had written negative about the people that worked at the BRN, and everybody fucking hated me. They hated my guts for so long. And that was also the day that I was so drunk that they threw me in the green room at the BRN. And I don't know if any of you guys know what those airsoft guns are, but those airsoft guns, on fully automatic, they shoot out these, like, rock-hard little BBs. Yeah, while I was passed out on the couch, and I wish I still had the video, but they got rid of it because Bubba was afraid that I was going to come back and sue. But they shot me with that gun for, I would say, about 2.5 to 3 minutes long on fully automatic. And I was so drunk, I did not even move. Did not move one single time. And I ended up waking up. I ended up waking up and I freaked out because when I looked at my left arm, I was like, do I have flesh-eating bacteria? Because it looked like I had a sleeve tattoo all the way from my shoulder on my left arm, all the way from my shoulder down to my wrist, was nothing but covered in bruises. Black, the blackest bruises that you could think of. And that's what that got me. But I kept it real. And I really can't even, like a lot of people I know probably want to hear, well, Total, give us your three things that, you know, you don't like about the BRN right now. No, that's not my place. I'm not an employee there anymore. Now, if Bubba wanted to have me on and wanted me to do like a outsider and give a review of the things that may or may not be wrong with the BRN, because I'm not saying there is a lot of things wrong with the BRN. There's not. There really, really isn't. But like, just like Bubba said, during that day where he wanted the three things that you hated, he mentioned, he was like, it's kind of hard doing radio with a bunch of people that are not professionals. And I'm not calling Lummy or anybody like on a not professional, but I'm talking about seasoned veterans that Bubba is used to working with. Ones that Bubba doesn't even have to tell what to do, that they automatically already know where Bubba's going with a bit. Now, have I been perfect on that every single time? Nope. No, I've definitely screwed up some bits before. But for the most part, I know how to work. So I'm not going to give my top three things that I don't like about the BRN right now, because I think the BRN's in a good spot right now. Bubba's happy with his crew, and that's all that counts. When Bubba feels comfortable, Bubba has fun. Bubba's in a good mood, and when Bubba's in a good mood, he does better radio. Now, I will admit, sometimes when Bubba's really pissed off, he does even more amazing radio. So, before I go, I want to play you this audio. Now, Bubba's played stories of that Manson did that really, really great parody song of Brass Monkey about Travis the Chimp that ended up ripping that lady's face off. And you know what? I don't feel bad for you at all. Like, I have no sympathy that your fingers, your eyeballs, your nose, your ears, everything on your body was ripped off because Travis the Chimp lost his shit because you were stuffing pills and booze down his throat and maybe he just had enough of it and had a psychotic breakdown and he ripped your face off. Yeah, I don't feel bad for you. I don't feel bad for you at all. And I don't even understand why some of these people are even allowed to own some of these animals. But there's body camera footage now. And I'm just wondering, like, I'm not even going to go there. I'm not making a comparison between the two. But I mean, I don't think this is a clean shoot at all. And is this going to be another Harambe type situation? A Harambe / Black Lives Matter movement where we all want to defund the police, because this lady ended up getting bit by her chimpanzee or primate or whatever she owns, and the cop had to come out with his long rifle, which was an AR-15, and basically cap the chimp.
No, there's a secondary fence under the patio.
And seriously, why is our law enforcement having to deal with stupid ass shit like this? I mean, if you're going to own a wild animal like this, it should be on you. Like, the cops should not have to come down and shoot your chimpanzee that you're so irresponsibly owning in a little cage. Of course, when you got a chimpanzee, listen, I've been in a mental institution for 11 days, and that 11 days was fucking, it was torture. It was torture. Time just crawled by so slowly, it fucking sucked. And it almost drove me even more insane. So what do you think a chimp's going to do that you got in a small little cage in the middle of like an urban / residential type area? Yeah, it's going to go crazy. It's going to take hacks at you the first chance it gets. And now the thin blue line guy has got to come out and now shoot your chimpanzee, which I'm pretty sure that this cop now could apply for PTSD, because I know that I would. I'd be like, yeah, man, I never thought in a million years when I woke up this morning, kissed the kids goodbye, you know, maybe got a quick blowy from the wife before I went out the door, that I was going to have to shoot a goddamn chimpanzee in the head.
Yeah, this one is, but...
Man, did you hear that? That chimpanzee is mad as fuck. Yeah, you know what? Now I really don't feel bad. I mean, this cop had to. I mean, it all depends. Did he? Was this a no-knock warrant? Did he bust up into the cage and not do a no-knock warrant deal? Is this going to cause some more issues here? I have a feeling that this is going to be another Harambe-type situation where people are all going to get behind it. You know, chimp lives matter, black lives matter, all lives matter. And this is just another case of the man, the piggy. You know, I really don't mean that. I support the cops, but I'm just, this is all in parody. Had to take care of an innocent chimpanzee. And now he's sitting up there with Harambe, like, what the fuck did we do, man? You know that lady that dropped her kid? Yeah, I know, man. I was just trying to help the kid. I was trying to bring the kid to safety, but everybody thought I was hurting it because I was dragging it by the leg and they capped me. Now I'm up here. And then you were probably most likely getting fed drugs and you were in a small little chicken coop that was not made for a chimpanzee. You bit the bitch and now you got capped by the cops.
Oh. Buddy? All right, I'm going to try to get in for a shot.
This guy, and I know I'm probably painting with a broad brush. This guy probably is a hunter. He probably is a sportsman. And he's probably like, you know what? He probably has no regrets shooting that chimp. He's probably like, hell yeah. Never in a million years did I think that I would actually be able to shoot a primate. I mean, this is like okay, perfect practice. You know, if you ever wanted to shoot a human, but you didn't want to get in trouble for it, the next closest thing is to shoot a primate. Am I right or am I wrong? I mean, it's the closest thing you can get to a human. So this guy's like, yes, I get to bag a wild animal and I also get to shoot something that's the most closely related to us when it comes to evolution.
Hey. Is there somebody there?
All right, so you obviously cannot see this video, but this chimpanzee has this bitch, the one I guess he bit, cornered in the house, and the chimpanzee is just like, come on, you want some more of this? And I gotta understand, I gotta ask the question, why was a negotiator not brought in first before the cops went in, guns a-blazing? Because I'm telling you right now, because I just saw this movie the other day with Kevin Spacey and Samuel L. Jackson called The Negotiator. I'm telling you right now, you bring in, Sam Jackson or Kevin Spacey, and we could have talked this chimp down. Probably could have did it for probably a bushel of bananas, maybe some fruit, maybe a tire swing or something it could swing from. Just to have a little bit of stimulation. Instead, no, he had to bite this bitch, and now this cop is about to murk this primate.
Okay, are you safe?
Yeah, I need you to shoot him.
Okay.
Gotta admit, the guy is a dead-eye dick. Like, I mean, he straight up nailed this chimp right between the eyes, and the chimp did not even, like, he didn't even twitch, flinch, or anything when he hit the ground. So that chimp, it was lights out. It was lights out. And guess what? Rest in peace, Mr. Chimpanzee. At least now you're not in solitary confinement. You know, I've always told people like this. So, like, if I did a crime where I either had a choice of life in prison or the death penalty, I'm like, are you, all right, listen, I don't even need an appeal. Strap me up to the chair, shoot me up with some juice, shoot me up with some lead, hang me, do whatever we... Well, don't hang me because that didn't work for me once already. So let's scratch that one. I don't give a fuck. Just get rid of me. Because I'm telling you, like I told you before, I was in that mental institution for 11 days. It seemed like 3 months. So could you imagine being in a small little space, no windows, no clocks, not knowing what's going on? It would be absolute torture. Guys, got to get out of here. Been talking for a while. Go to my website, Tuttle.net. Vote for me. Best podcast not on the radio in the Orlando Weekly Best of Competition. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Hope you guys are safe. And I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketPearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Siroc. Show voiceover service is brought to you by jcvoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds, .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
All right, so what's your query?
Enhanced ignorance. I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.